you, sorry. I didn't touch it. You told me it was ready, so I must have pushed it off while I was in my pocket. But anyway, greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here this morning already. I can say I was inspired, encouraged already this morning, and challenged as well. In the prayer meeting this morning, we heard there were some prayers that said, Lord, challenge us today. Lord, if you need to rebuke us, rebuke us. Lord, encourage us. I heard those prayers this morning in the prayer room, and I can say I've been encouraged. I've been challenged about our life, and I can say what Dan preached is almost like part one from what I want to preach here after I share a little bit of my testimony. I'm going to continue on that thought a little bit on our purpose. Is it eternal? What is our purpose? And so before I get to that message, you'll understand here after I begin that with that. But I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony a little bit. I'm going to skip through most of it and just touch on some parts throughout my life. Just to share a little bit, it's going to go with what I'm going to share and what I'm going to challenge you with. Us, not you, us. A lot of times our messages are born from what? From some of our struggles, right? Some of our needs. A lot of times my messages come from my need that I see in my life. And I can say this in here. It came from a need in my life. And there won't be no condemnation. And as I studied this and shared, wrote all this down in my hand, I was challenged again. It seemed like sometimes we're so soon removed from where we were at 20 years ago. So bear with me as I share a little bit. A lot of you probably heard a lot of my testimony. Oh, that's another reason. Many in here, they were saying that it'd be good to hear some of you older men, some of your testimonies. We never heard it. And so I took that opportunity just a little bit to share 15 minutes of my life. Just skipping through. So with that, we'll have a word of prayer, then I'll begin here. So let's pray. Eternal Father, as we do bow here at this time, Lord, I thank you for already, Lord, what we heard from you today, Father, the songs and just being here with the brothers. Oh God, we ask you that you would bless this service. Bless today, Lord. Encourage us, inspire us, challenge us, whatever it may be. Father, we just ask you to be amongst us. And as we know, Father, you are. You're the same God that wanted to lead Israel out of Egypt. And you led them by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. And you opened up the Red Sea and you fed them manna. You fed them quail. You was leading them. And you want to do the same for us. But we need to be willing. We know that as years went by, they started rebelling. And there's only a few that entered in from that group into the land of Canaan. So God help us just to have open hearts. As the brother shared, the willingness. If we have a willingness, God is able to do a greater work in our hearts. So we just ask for that, Lord. I ask you just to be with us. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, most of you know that I grew up in a large family of 15, plus mom and dad, so that was 17. And I have several siblings here today. 1, 2, 3, 4. So it's a blessing. It seemed like I got shorted with time with dad. Seemed like my relationship with dad was off and on throughout many years of my life. I was a rebellious boy growing up and all that. And then God did a great work and dad maybe didn't understand it. But it seemed like the last 2 years of our life, of dad's life, I really connected with dad. And I praise God for that opportunity today. So, with mom, always had a sweet connection, a communion with mom all of our life, even though she disagreed with some of the things that we were involved with, a lot of things, but she was always there for us, it seemed like. So, with the 15 siblings, I was right in the middle, 7 older, 7 younger. In a large family, there's pros and cons, right? In a large family. But I would say the pros outweigh the cons dramatically. I can say that. Of all my siblings, I don't know if they can say the same thing that I say, but I really enjoy my siblings. When I see them, it's a blessing. But one thing that a large family does, which my son probably lacks, a large family teaches us how to share, right? Jaden's just, he's just by himself, and he gets what he wants, and, or has it, it's his. But in our growing up, it's interesting. We had a drawer for over here for a name on it, Mark, Dennis, and Dan. That's where all our clothes went. So we shared all of our clothes, and we shared all of our shoes, and we shared everything. Then there was another sect with Paul, Steve, and Pete, I think. They shared all theirs. And then there was Merv. Then there was Lester, Merv, no, Marv. They're like, we're all about the same size growing up, so we got to learn how to share. But anyway, I grew up being a very rebellious boy. Mom said I was probably one of the most stubborn boys growing up, but I would differ with that. I always thought Dan was, but she always said that all of my life, that you were the most stubborn boy, and probably, I didn't mean that with Dan, but I can probably say that I probably still have some of that in me. But anyway, God forbid, God wants to take all that away. But I remember growing up, and I was around 12 years old. I remember the first time where sin became sinful. I think I was 12 years old. And I often ponder that. If somebody would have been there to help me through, I could have avoided all those 30 years of my sinful past. But I remember I did something, and God smote me and told me, that's sin. You're going to go to hell for doing that. And I remember going to Mom. I remember where Mom was at that day. She was standing in her wash. I mean, she stood there by hours in her wash house, washing clothes. I could just remember there, and I walked in there and I stood beside her. I said, Mom, I need to talk to you. And I shared with her what's going on. And I still remember the response. She said, Mark, you need to go knee down. Go in your room and knee down and ask God to forgive you, and he'll forgive you. And I did that. But there seemed like there was not no teaching on how to be victorious over these things and be able to trust in the Lord. I mean, I remember going asking for forgiveness, but I don't remember ever thinking that he forgave me. We didn't have the faith, you know. So that went on. But I remember becoming accountable that age. And it seemed like from that time on, the sin spiraled out of control with moral sins and idolatry. Sports in my life was a thing that controlled me for 30 years of my life, actually 27 years of my life before I got born again and announced that. Then drunkenness and drugs and rebelling for many years of my life. I'm not going to share much of my past, just but a few. But I remember just to give you a little bit of the vile person, how cold I was and how ignorant I was with God. I mean, we knew that there was a God, but I loved sin far more than anything else. And one of my cousins, we used to ride together to go to church. And when we were following church, most of you know what that means. And we would get high at times going to church. And you imagine, you know what that does to two ungodly boys, getting high and going to church and sitting in the church room and all that. It was look back, I can see Dad's embarrassment today. But anyway, but I got baptized that way, and that with nothing changing. And later in the life, that's why most of us get the believer's baptism, the one baptism. And I got that later on. And even before that, there was a group of us that were going to move to Davis County to just go out and have some fun there, just running away from home and just living a life. But God had other plans for me. So I'm not going to share much more on that. But I know that with that, God had other plans. At 18 and a half, through immorality, I married my lovely wife, Loretta. And I can say that's the best thing that God did for me, except for conversion, because of the sinfulness that was spiraling from me. I don't know what would have happened because just of all the things and alcohol and drugs that was involved with, it was just ramping and ramping. But I remember After that, after I got married, it was, yes, I drank a lot, but drugs was not much at all. We did it a few times. A few times after that. But anyway, but I remember getting married and gone for years, and I kept thinking, there have to be more to this life than this. Yes, I changed a lot, but yet I was still involved in a lot of sins and all that stuff, and I thought, someday I will find it. Someday I'm going to take whatever it costs. I'm going to change my life. And the interesting thing, I didn't want my children to live the life that I was living. But I had no answers on what was the way. What was the answer? I had no idea. And I know that Loretta and I would often get fearful after reading letters that came through the mail about concentration camps and being built, and just a lot of fear in us. And at the same time, my brother Lester gave me a book on Sergigo. Interesting. And I never forgot about that book, about Russia retraining the minds of children, taking these children from these Christian parents. There's Christians in Russia. They'd take these children, and they would take them and put them in concentration camps and retrain their minds. And the one was Sergigo. I read this book. How he was in a godly family that practiced spirituality. They loved Jesus, and their mom and dad was killed, and he was taken and he was retrained for I don't know how many hours, 16 hours a day. Basically, there's no God, there's no God, there's no God, and it just continually was impressed into that little child, and he grew up to be one of the greatest communists that Russia had. There, I'm just going to share a little story on that book, and then I'll go on from that. But anyway, as I was reading that, I remember reading that, fear in my heart, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning before I finished the book. Then I went to bed, and I laid there, and I cried to God, what do I need to do? How do I need to get there? But anyway, Sergigo, he went at a church to break up this church meeting. And here was this man in there he's seen for the third time. And Sergio, his intentions was to kill this man. So he got his club that he had, and he went over to the man, he grabbed this man, and grabbed this club, and he was going to swing with all his might across his head. And as he had his hand up, it said that someone grabbed his hand. So he turned around, and he looked, and nobody was there. He was angry. So he's going to swing again, and again, some with a firm grip grabbed his hand and almost turned him around, it said. And he looked back, and nobody was there. And he said, God, is that you? And he dropped his club, and he ran out. And with that, he knew that God, it was God. And I remember that night saying, God, you show me. You need to show me what I need to do. It seemed like if someone would have been there for us, at those times, we could have skipped many of those years. But anyway, long story short, he was fleeing to America, and they caught him from that tip of America, from Russia to America, and someone caught him, and they threw him in the ocean. And anyway, but I remember him saying, "Well, he changed his life. I'm sure that he went to heaven." And I remember I wanted that, but there was nobody there. And I'm going to challenge a little bit on the message after. After I'm done with my my testimony here, that's why I'm sharing some of this. But I thought, God, where were you from us all? I remember that time there laying there. God, where are you? Where are you at from us? This is a godless society at that time, and it seemed like I knew of him, but I was like, where are you? I wanted something different, and that was in actually 1997. And it seemed like no one was there to help us. And today, after I'm done, I'm going to share on, you have an eternal purpose today. You know, if somebody would have been there, we had churches around us that I had contact with throughout the week, months, or year. And it seemed like I was never got shared with. No one ever shared the gospel with me. Through those years, there's a few later on in life. And I knew that there was something more to live for than that. And after that time, I knew that was a short time after that, I went to my bishop, which was Mervyn's and Arlen's dad, Danny, and I said, I wanted to be excommunicated. I wanted to take that punishment for my sin. I wanted to clean that slate. I'm tired of this sinful life. And Danny was the first one to tell me that, hey, it sounds like you already repented. If you repent of your sins, you don't need the excommunication from the church. All you need to do is just trust that the Lord forgive you. But I didn't understand that either. I wanted to take the punishment for my sins, not realizing that Christ already done. He already paid for that sin, on the cross. We don't need to take the punishment. We just need to repent. So I went through all that, and I got rid of my driver's license, my TV, and I stopped drinking, most part, but I had no power over immoral things. And it seemed like sin continued to ramp up. And then in the year of 2000, many of us, we were preparing for the Y2K, and a fear again struck in my heart. We often were told that there was no earth, no world that lasted over 2,000 years, and I thought, this is going to be it. So I quit drinking. For the first time since I was 16, I quit drinking alcohol, quit partying. But I wasn't born again. Changed friends, and we got into a different group. Then later on, one of my closest friends, my cousins, claimed that he got born again. Whatever that would have meant, I thought, But even though I've seen his life, he went from drinking alcohol, drugs, immoral things, and wickedness, to sitting around praying, reading the Bible. He came over at times and handed us some CDs and tracts. But I just tried to study this guy out. I knew something happened, but he was sharing how God saved him from his wicked sins. And I couldn't understand. Couldn't understand this guy. Then he ended up moving to Pennsylvania, and I thought, well, good. He's confused anyway. And I took the CDs and the tracts and I put them on the shelf. I knew better than burn them. It was God's word. Only to use them later on in life. But and with that, it says that unless the Lord draweth, no one will come to him. And it seemed like I would have been thinking the Lord was drawing, but yet it's still like I'm still not understanding the gospel, what was being preached or shared with me. But then it was after 2002 or 2001, the Lord started to reveal his word, his spirit and truth. I started to understand the word of God around 2003. I got born again in 2004 in May. 5 months later, my wife got born again. Renee, a couple months later, then years later, then it was Jennifer and Angela and Jaden. And now God is even working in my grandchildren. Praise the Lord. God is so good. And I know, I want just to share that just briefly here. And that is a story for most of you in here, right? Most of you went through that same process of that wicked life as God drawing. God cares. God, it's not the heart of God that any would perish, but all come to repentance, right? It's not his heart that any would be lost. So we see here God drew every one of us. If there's a few in there, probably there might be some in there at the age of accountability. If you're not, you're missing out. You're missing out. So what I wanted to share, the marvelous work that God has done in my life. He was drawing me many times, but yet it seemed like I loved my sin possibly more than the Word of God. And that's probably what kept me there. There was drawings at different times and throughout. But anyway, here we are. I'm 20 years later. Some of you are 25 years later. Some of you are 3 years. Some are 4 years later. Now what? What is your purpose today? Is it eternal? Where is your heart? Do you have a burden? This is what I'm going to share on this. It said Dan shared some of this. The marvelous work that God has done in most of us. Are we okay? Now, I remember getting born again in 2004 and remember that burden rolling off my back and thinking, wow, here I am. I'm ready to go to heaven. Lord, come get me. And I remember just thinking, this is it. But God has far more. He has far more than that for us, right? Is our purpose after we're born again, is it eternal? Or is it more on the things of this life? Do we have a burden for souls of men? Dan already asked us that.
If we don't have a burden for souls of men, it might not be eternal purpose. I don't know, because I know that God, when He saved us, He saved us more than just so we can go to heaven. He has far more people that He wants also there, and He wants to use each and every one of us in here. So my encouragement here today is just to, I'm going to read some scripture, challenge us a little bit. That's with me as well. And like I said, most of the times we share a message because of some of our own needs. And this is my own need. I was just thinking recently, God, there's more than this, you know. Some weeks it'll go without us getting active in evangelism or all that. And I'm not preaching this that works-based, where you need to do this if you're going to go to heaven. But I'm saying is that if you're a child of the King, there should be a burden within you for the souls of men. We see the life of Paul here. I'm going to read some of that. Paul was his purpose before he was a child of the King. He had a purpose, and his purpose was earthly. His purpose was to do what the King had told him to do: gather up all the Christians and take them to jail. And Paul purposed that with all of his heart. But we see that Paul's purpose changing, eternal, when he met the Lord on the road there, and they knocked him off the horse. And Paul said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Every one of us shared that. And I trust that is still in our hearts. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" We have open hearts to the Lord. If we have a willingness, someone shared there. I think it was in the panel there yesterday at Concord. If we have a willingness in our hearts, just a willingness, God is able to take that farther than what we know. But anyway, Paul said, as he trembled and astonished and said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And the Lord said, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand, and they brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight. And we know the life of Paul from there on out. Paul had an eternal purpose. And that the eternal purpose, it is a fulfilling life, right? And I know that I'm talking to many of you in here that have an eternal purpose. But I do know there's times where all of a sudden we seem like we get caught up in the affairs of this life, the things of this world. And all of a sudden the people around us aren't so sinful no more. You think about that? The divorce and the remarriage and all that around us 20 years ago is like, it was a horrible thing, but today it just seemed like a common thing. The gays and the lesbians around us, all of a sudden it doesn't seem so bad. It's when we start losing our focus. But we see Paul here went on, and Paul's last words there in Timothy says, you know, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He said, not only for me, but for those that love his appearing. So just to encourage us there that we would continue on with the eternal purpose in our life, and we can hear those words someday, well done. Then we've seen Stephen here. He was a deacon there. He got chosen. It didn't seem like weeks or months before. When they heard these things, he stood up and he started preaching. Some of these things that he shared, I'm not going to, we know the verses that he shared. He called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears. Ye always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, in whom you have been now the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Then he goes on and preaches. He says, when they heard these things, they were cut to heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But Stephen had an eternal purpose in his life. And it says that he, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears. They plugged their ears and ran up to him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down the clothes at the young man's feet. And we know this was Saul. Saul was there at that time. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. So we see the two men here that had an eternal purpose. And I trust that that we will not allow the things, the busyness of the world. And, you know, Paul had a job, and I know that Stephen had a job. They provided for them for their families. But we need jobs. We need to provide for our families, and not saying that. We need to work, but let's not allow the work become a stumbling block for those around us. What I shared there in my testimony, it seemed like if I'd had a few brothers there a few times, say, hey, Mark, this is what you need to do. Just come here. You need to learn how to trust the Lord. And there's still people around us today that have that same need today. If we're willing and open have a purpose, eternal purpose, God will use that. He'll bring them to us. This seemed like there many years could have been taken off my life. Now, I'm not looking back, but I'm just saying that God today wants to use us in many ways. So for this church to endure many generations, we need to have an eternal purpose, a burden for nations, a burden for lost souls. If not, we will give ourselves to our work and make a lot of money, attain much possessions and lands, while around us souls perish. And God forbid, what is our purpose in this life? So we also see here the three men there in Daniel. They had an eternal purpose, and it says that the deliverance from the fiery furnace. We see in there that they made a decree there that everybody needs to pray to Nebuchadnezzar there. And these three men, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they continued praying to God. But they were told that they need to worship the golden image, and we knew that. Even death was not going to change these three men's purpose in this life. Then we see Daniel there as well as he had a purpose in life, and that was to worship the king or worship God, the creator. And as he went to the window, we know for days, and that's where they seen him. He could have went into the corner of his bedroom and just, you know, he hadn't prayed, but it seemed like there he opened up the window, and it seemed like often they talked audibly there with God, and that's where he met with God. And Daniel continued doing that, and we know that as he got thrown into the lion's den there, it says, then the king, when he heard these things, he was sore pleased with himself when Daniel refused to bow down to him. And he labored till he laid down the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and they said unto him, now, O king, and the law of the Medes and Persians, that no degree nor statue with the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him to the dens of the lions. Now the king spake and said unto him, Daniel, the God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And even the king got caught up in that little trap, but he knew. He said, Daniel, the king that you serve, he will deliver thee. And the king that we serve today, which is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he will deliver us. As Daniel shared, you know, we sit around, do we pray for persecution? Or are we active where we should be being persecuted? But here, regardless of that, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he will deliver us. They had an eternal purpose. Then 1 Peter 3. I'm going to share some of those scriptures where it talks about the eternal purpose for us as from God. 1 Peter 3. No, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3, you can turn there if you want, starting on verse 13. A purpose for us. We see the suffering and reward here. It says, and who he is that will harm you, if you be followers of that which is good. And if ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks a reason, a hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that wherein they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, If the will of God be so, then you suffer for well doing than for evil doing. For Christ, who also once suffered for sins and just for the unjust, he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quicken us by his Spirit, by which he also went and preached unto the spirits in the prisons, which sometimes were disobedient, who once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, when the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure thereunto, even baptism, does not also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of God, of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. This is the purpose of Christ. We see the purpose of him. As he came and he done those things in the flesh, as he suffered, and who's gone into heaven is on the right hand of God, angels and authority and powers being made subject unto him. So we see here that Jesus' purpose in this life was to reconcile every soul back to God, back to the Father. It was not about him. It was not about Jesus. We see that many times. If it would have been about him, he could have called 10,000 angels. But no, it was about each and every one of us in here. So we see the things that he suffered and things that he was willing to do for us so that the kingdom of God could continue on being enlarged, continue on growing. And he wants to use each and every one of us. We need to have an eternal purpose today for that. So that the Lord Jesus can use us in a mighty way. God help us. When we lose that purpose of this life, when we lose a purpose, our purpose in life, we will begin to devour one another. We will begin to find fault or weaknesses in the brothers and sisters in the congregation. Think about that. And there's weaknesses in me you'll find. There's weaknesses with each other. But if we lose the true purpose that why God called us out from among the darkness of the heathen, where he called us out from the people that we spent a lot of time with, and they were dear friends to us, he called us out. He kept pulling us and called us out. He wants to use each and every one of us for his purpose. That's for the purpose of the kingdom of God. And so often we get our purposes mixed up in this life. So we will begin to find fault and weaknesses in the brothers and the sisters in the congregation. And when that happens, the lost souls in the church and those around us will be forgotten. God forbid. And that is the main reason he pulled us out. Yes, that we can have eternal home, but help the souls of others to find that true peace that we have and that what he wants them to have as well. Is our purpose eternal? For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country. This is in Matthew 25. Who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And he straightway he took his journey. Then he had received the 5 talents, and he went and traded them with some. And he made them another 5 talents. And likewise he had received 2, he also gained 2. But he that received 1, he went and he dug it into earth and he hid his Lord's money. And you know, we've been all given talents. We've all been inspired by God. What are we doing with that? Are we taking the 5 and are we using it to his ability? Or are we burying our talent? Are we burying our eternal purpose? Are we burying what God wants us to do for the kingdom? So he took that one and he buried it. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants come and he reckoned with him. And so he had received 5 talents. He came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside those 5 talents more. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. There's a joy into that. Just being faithful in the Lord's work. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servants. It's not about how much work or great things you have done. If you're just a willing servant, God will bless that. That's what he's looking for, a willing servant. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord. And I want to use this. I want to use this verse right here where I ended up at once I got born again. If I would have just stayed right there and said, Lord, I'm ready for you. I'm going to wait here. Just stay in the house and read the Word of God, and still had a connection with God. But I could have stayed there, but that would have been burying the talent that God has given us. We know it's a dangerous situation just to be alone. God called us to be with brothers and walk together with many. But here, the one that buried his talent, received the one talent, he came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast sown, not sown, and gather where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Here it is, Lord. The talent that you give me, here, I give it back. God forbid. Just give his talent back. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strown. And he said, he cast him into the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When we lose the purpose of this life, that's what will begin to happen. And God wants us to invest in the kingdom of heaven. There's great rewards. He blesses us richly and spiritually, which we all testify of that. The greatest thing is when we see other souls coming to find that true peace of God, finding out the joy of the Lord. That was us when we were given those talents. That is when we begin the Christian walk. And God wants us to invest into his kingdom, whatever that may look like. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Let me just read those. This is what he says. Go ye therefore and teach. Let me back up at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always until the end of the world. Amen. And that's what he shared with the disciples. He said, go you everywhere and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everywhere you go. And that is the same commandment he gives us today. He's asking us to do the same thing. If we're not involved or have a burden for evangelism, or if we bury our talent, we will die spiritually. Can I say that or not? Correct me to that if I'm wrong. But if we're not involved in evangelism, if we don't have a burden, I feel that spiritually we will die, even as individually or as a church. As we know what happened, and Jesus took that one that buried his talent from him. Ephesians 2, from 1 to 10. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The Spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversations in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit into heavenly heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful verses here. He raised us up together this morning. He raised us up in here. He brought us from all almost denominations and almost from every place here. And he brought us together. And we are in here in one accord in worshiping God. He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's just not so we can come in there and have a good day. That we can come in there and just enjoy each other. Yes, it's a blessing. But he has a eternal purpose. He has a further purpose in our lives. This is the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace to his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus into good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We were created for his workmanship. We were created for Christ Jesus. We were created for his glory. As David Miller shared a message the other night, his title was, Who Are You and Why Are You Here? And it just struck something in my heart. I started pondering, who am I? Why am I here? What is the purpose that where God has me at this time? Is it so I can just go to heaven? You know, men around us, they can see our purpose in life. We can't deceive. I remember before I was born again, there was a few men that, one was my cousin, one was my cousin's husband. As they started sharing some things with me about what God has done, I began to watch them like a hawk. And I wanted to find fault in them so much because I almost knew what they had is probably what I needed. But that was going to cost way too much in my life. That was going to cost everything. My sports and my idolatry and all that stuff. But I watched them. It didn't take me long at all to see that they had an eternal purpose. That all of a sudden, the things that they were attached to in this life, it was gone. And they had an eternal. They were about Jesus. And it took me a while to figure that out. But I seen that. And people around us, they could see our purpose as well. A time for everything. Ecclesiastes there, always blessed with some of these verses. I'm going to read some of these. So everything, there's a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born, a time to die. This is for everyone. I mean, this word here is prophetic. And it's a time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to rend, a time to sow. A time to keep silence, a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that which wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in the time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And I was just blessed with those verses. There's a time for everything. There is. But yet there's a time that's going to come that each and every one of us in here are going to die. There's a time to be born and a time to die. So let's have an eternal purpose in our life where it blesses God in this time. In Romans 8, I have a few more verses here in closing. 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together to good for those that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And this is the word of God. His purpose. And we know, I'll read it again. And we know that all things work together and do good to those that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we need to be in the called, in the purpose of God, if we want to experience the blessings. God will bless those who are found in his purpose. As John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill, that's Satan, and to destroy. But my purpose, Jesus says, but my purpose, the purpose of Christ, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Think about that. That is for his children. That is the purpose of God, is to give us a rich and a satisfying life. And we know outside of being born again, we will not experience that rich and satisfying life. What a place to be in his purpose. If we're not there, we're missing out on that peace and joy and love. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Psalms 27, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Isaiah 40:31, familiar verse. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God help us to walk purposely. There are spiritual blessings when we walk with Jesus. And we've seen, as John here says, that the thief also has a purpose in this life. That is to kill, steal, and destroy. So if we lose focus on God's reason that he drew us out of that miry clay and he set our feet upon the rock of Jesus Christ, if we lose that purpose in life, why? What was the reason He gathered us here today? Who are ye and what are you doing? Why are you here? What is the purpose of your life today? If we lose a purpose, we see in 10 it says that Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. A few more verses here in Psalms, and then I'll take my seat here. Psalms, again, it's on the purpose of our life. In Jeremiah, it says, I think it's Jeremiah 1:5. To whom the word of the Lord came to the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, into Judea, in the 13th year of the reign. And it came also in the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, into the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, into the carrying of the Jerusalem captive into the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly. That's the verse I was supposed to read, 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto all nations. I know he's talking to Jeremiah here. But same way, before we were born, he knew us. He sanctified us. He ordained us. Let's not lose our eternal purpose. And two more verses. Psalms 33. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whom God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. So blessed is the nation whom God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. Then Psalms 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. That's a promise today. If we have eternal purpose, if we have our heart set toward God, His purpose for us will not change. His purpose for us, he will bless us. So just an encouragement as we go on, from this life that we have an eternal purpose. Because we see so many people around us that have a purpose in life, but it's not eternal. It's about how much they can accumulate, how much wealth. We see those people, and it's a stench. And that's not the heart of God. So I trust that we do. We have that eternal purpose, and someday we can hear those words, "Well done, faithful servant." So God bless you. If I shared anything that I shouldn't have, feel free to share it.